Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
It's that time of night, you can't stay uptight. So come and join the people and I'm feeling all right. Here on Overnight America. Overnight America.
Right, yeah. Welcome back. Last hour of the show, live until midnight, and the replay hours from midnight till 2 a.m. Thank you for hanging out with us here on Overnight America. What a fiery Democratic debate tonight. Whoa, man, they really stepped it up in Las Vegas tonight. We had Richard Bino on in the last hour to recap, but rules analyst Kristen Arnold, I always love checking in with her after the debates, get some statistics and her thoughts on how the moderators handled it. Kristen, thank you for coming back.
Oh, my pleasure, Ryan.
What a debate. So I don't know what you guys got going on out there in Las Vegas, that side of the world, but man, they were up and at them tonight.
Well, and that was a new ground rule that the moderators put into place. So I don't know if you heard it, but at the beginning, Lester Holt said, and so, you know, each candidate gets a minute and 15 seconds to respond and 45 seconds to rebut. And because there's only six of you on stage, we encourage you to directly engage with each other.
So they knew that ahead of time.
You know, I do not know if they knew that ahead of time. I did not know that. They certainly didn't announce that. That was going to be a new ground rule.
Yeah.
But I got to think that they did, because Senator Warren just came out swinging on several different occasions. And she was kind of lambasted last time that she was too meek or something like that. I don't know. But this time, there were several times where she had very pointed attacks on other candidates, which is very uncharacteristic. So she came out swinging, and she could do that because she was encouraged to directly engage with each other.
Yeah, it was the rule that anyone could follow, and boy, was there a lot of that tonight. So for those 2 hours, six on stage, I'm curious how you felt NBC, MSNBC handled that, because there was a lot of back and forth.
There was a lot of back and forth, and honestly, I felt it was one of the first times I've actually felt like I was in a debate.
Oh, okay.
Like, people were actually, like, challenging each other and challenging each other's ideas and positions. And I do think that the way that the moderators positioned a lot of the questions created that kind of conversation. So the first question out of the gate was a whole exposition about Bloomberg. He's new on the stage and blah, 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 blah. And then, oh, we turn to Sanders and we say, so why is your revolution a better bet? Compare and contrast. There were a lot of compare and contrast. So, for example, later on, moderator Haley Jackson, she looks at Senator Warren and she says, so is Sanders making it harder for Democrats to unify in November? So there was a lot of electability types of questions, and there was a lot of compare and contrast, which actually is the point of the debate. Like, what makes you all different?
This is what you want to see for someone that's trained like yourself, and you want to be able to see ways that people could actually get to the issues. You're hoping for debates like this.
Right. And what's happened in the past is that everybody's been kind of polite. There's always been kind of this implicit ground rule among the candidates, like, we need to be unified and not make anybody look bad or like not position each other. And I think those gloves kind of came off about a debate or two ago when I called it the spat between Sanders and Warren, as they had this little skirmish about what was said about a year ago about whether a woman was electable or not. And I think it carried through. I think the gloves are off. I think they need to position each other. Now, what I thought was interesting was that Buttigieg and Klobuchar were after each other. And that was teed up by the moderator.
So they were priming that pump.
Yes.
Yeah, I do want to talk about that dynamic. But one of the things that's interesting that Lester Holt brought up at the very start, and you mentioned it was, hey, we want you guys to play with each other, right? We want you to play off of each other. I don't think Bloomberg got that memo because it seemed like mostly he was standing up giving his best PR pitch. Like, I'm going to read from the script and I'm not going to go out there. And like the other candidates, much more comfortable on stage, interacting with each other, going back and forth. Bloomberg was just there and he was taking the punches, but man, he wasn't doing much else other than that.
Yeah, but keep in mind, the guy hasn't been on a debate stage in 10 years.
Oh, okay.
These people have been on the debate stage this is their ninth time. They've been doing a lot of town halls.
Yeah.
So they're pretty comfortable with their messages. They know what their laugh lines are. You know, they know what the tweetable sound bites are that people are going to remember. And there were a lot of them tonight. I mean, I was howling on some of them.
It's like nine going on 63, you know, it feels like with these debates, the howling at some of these. That's funny, too. You know, did you get a chance to calculate who had the most time on the screen or the talking time?
Of course, Ryan. Who do you think in this debate?
Oh, yeah, I already know. It's got to be Bernie Sanders by a long shot.
No.
What? Really?
What? He actually had the same number of rebuttals as Bloomberg, which means your name was mentioned, and so you get a chance to respond. And what I think is funny is that usually the person who is the front runner normally is the person who is kind of like, you're the person that we refer to because you're the front runner.
Right.
And Bloomberg had the exact same number of rebuttals. And it's like, okay, so is he a front runner? And in fact, you know, Buttigieg actually said, is this a race between Bernie and the billionaire?
You know, they kept referencing and bringing back the Bloomberg. So I wondered the reason maybe he's getting the rebuttals is because they kept invoking his name. Because, man, there was blood in the water and they were circling around him because they knew they had to change the rules to get him in there. He's been someone that's been spending a lot of money and they got a lot of criticisms based on some of these different news stories that's come out in the past week. So there was a lot of material for them to work off of.
Oh, there was. And if you look at the stats, Bloomberg did not respond once, which means he didn't put his hand up in the air, so he wasn't recognized by the moderators. But honestly, in this debate, the moderators were letting the conversation, whoever had kind of like the loudest voice or whoever had a rebut. So there really wasn't an opportunity. But honestly, I don't think Bloomberg was really wanting to participate in a response.
Okay, so who had the most time total? What was the order?
Elizabeth Warren is back to being on top most time.
Wow. Okay, Warren number one.
She's kind of dipped in the last couple. Of course, Bloomberg was the least, and he's a fringe candidate, so that adds to it as well. Plus, you know, he's still trying to figure out how does this whole thing work. I don't think he really did his due diligence in preparing like the other candidates did as well.
Yeah. So it goes from Warren, and after that, you said, was it a tie?
Okay. Now, who do you think is next? You were thinking it's Bernie.
I really thought Bernie would have been number one, because every time I looked up on the TV,
he's not even number two.
Who's two? Klobuchar?
Amy Klobuchar. And here's the reason why. Is she went over time almost every single time she talked.
Mm-hmm. I thought she was.
And so did Warren.
She really took advantage of her time tonight. The parts I was able to see, she was. This is a different side of Klobuchar you're not used to seeing during the debates.
Well, she's fighting.
Yeah.
Like this was a debate to say, yeah, I'm in this race or I'm not. This is a defining moment.
Mm-hmm. And she doesn't want to be pulled down, so she was fighting and trying to really almost like catapult herself over Buttigieg, because I know that she's kind of down there in the polls. So who was number three?
Okay, so we have Warren, mm-hmm. we have Klobuchar, and then Bernie Sanders.
There's Bernie. All right.
There he is. Now, here's what's really interesting. Joe Biden, mm-hmm. he's 20 seconds above Mike Bloomberg.
Oh, wow. So Biden didn't get much time either. And then that would put at number four, Buttigieg. All right. All right. So there they are, the lineup. It kind of surprised me because Klobuchar really took advantage of playing off of everything else that was going on. And she did pretty good when it came to the one-liners. It seemed like she got people in the audience laughing, at least.
You know, I always laugh at her. Not at her. That was wrong. I laugh with her.
I know what you mean.
She always has these really funny one-liners that just kind of... she's the only one on the stage that actually, in my humble opinion, has like a humorous personality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I laugh.
I was kind of surprised, too. They had the local journalist there that wanted to represent the people of the area. And he brings up climate change. And I'm thinking, there's got to be a more localized issue that the people, the voters there, would want you to discuss. Because they already know where each and every single one of the candidates stand on climate change. I was surprised they decided to use that question for their time.
I would have thought gun control. Mm-hmm. Would have been more appropriate.
In Vegas, from just a couple of years ago, the tragedy there.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess, climate control, you know, climate change is kind of important. And then they branched off into fracking.
Hmm.
I'm not exactly sure fracking is all that important to Nevadians.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you say. Nevadians? Yeah, that doesn't sound right. People who live in Nevada, and I live in Arizona, so I should probably know that. So
yeah, when I think of Las Vegas right now, if I were to come up with a question, I would think, well, if they're going to legalize gambling in pretty much every other state, are you concerned you're going to lose all your tourists? Because, I mean, they don't have to come for sports gambling. That's got to be a hit for Las Vegas, I would think. Because that was what they were known for a lot of people.
Well, you know, I'm really surprised that coronavirus wasn't brought up at all.
Interesting. Like, that's a good one.
You know, especially in the meetings industry, I was just supposed to be speaking in Namibia, of all places, and that global summit got canceled because of the threat of coronavirus, even though it has not hit the continent yet. But because it was a global meeting, which a lot of meetings in Las Vegas are global, that is going to be a huge issue for the meetings industry. It's going to be a huge issue for their economy. You know, what would you do to try to, you know, maintain our isolationism from this virus? And that didn't come up at all.
Great. Yeah. Think of how many people travel through Las Vegas. There's a ton of people. It's a huge spot for traveling from even people internationally. So sure, you'd be a prime area that you'd want to be concerned about people coming in from out of the country that may be contaminated. Yeah, well, that's interesting. All right. So Kristen Arnold, a rules analyst, if people wanted to check out your work and you, where can they find you?
They can find me at rulesanalyst.com, Brian.
Just like that. Kristen Arnold. Thank you so much. I'm glad we get to do this. And you know what? I think there's another one next week, isn't there?
There is. I'm happy to report that March 15th, there's going to be one here in Phoenix, my own hometown. I'm so excited.
So exciting. You're going to tailgate, I bet. Yeah, and Trump was there tonight, too, wasn't he?
I didn't think about that, Ryan. Yeah. But Trump was here today.
Yeah, so he was doing a speech there. Look at that. You guys are in the hot spot of politics right now.
Yeah, well, you know, and most of us do mail balloting.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time the debate comes, like, 80% of us have already voted.
Well, yeah, they have to get that. All right, Kristen Arnold, thank you again.
Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
You too. RulesAnalyst.com. Kristen Arnold. Do a Google search for her. You'll find her. Kristen Arnold. Thank you so much. It's Overnight America. We'll take some of your calls coming up, too, at 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. She joins us on the TDK Technologies guest line.
Get home fast and informed. Total Information PM starts weekdays at 4 on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX and KMOX.com.
Thanks for joining us on Overnight America. Yeah, President Trump was speaking out where Kristen Arnold is located. Very cool. A lot of people hanging out, at least politician-wise, looking towards that side with the Las Vegas debates just wrapping up not that long ago. Well, I wonder how many people watched it. I'm going to guess they had a high viewership. And she gave them some pretty high accolades the way that MSNBC handled it. They said, hey, this is more of how a debate should be handled, giving the candidates an opportunity to actually bring up issues with the other candidates and then respond to it, because that's how you should be handling it. It shouldn't just be you reading off a teleprompter and giving your pitch. Next debate is in South Carolina, February 25th. I know, 6 days away. It's next Tuesday. It's not even a week away. And then March 15th in Phoenix, Arizona. Helen's calling in. Welcome to Overnight America, Helen.
Hi. This is Helen calling from Chesterfield, and nice. I'm an 87-year-old woman. I'm a widow,
okay.
And I'm definitely a Republican and for Trump, but I was objective enough to watch the debates tonight, and I thought that they were terribly discourteous to each other. Now, I know they said they could feed off of each other for the questions, but I've never heard of a debate where so many people were interrupting each other and yelling over their heads. I just thought it was very disgraceful.
Oh, was there any person in particular that stands out as being disgraceful?
I think Bernie Sanders.
Really? Because, okay.
Yeah, I think he just thought he was better than any of them, and he was going to take the show. Mm-hmm.
So when you were done watching this debate, your general impressions were they were not too kind.
No, they weren't. It was, you know, and I watched the Republican and the Democratic debates. I'm interested in them.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I've never seen a debate that when there is so much hostility going back and forth between each other.
It's going to be interesting when Donald Trump takes the stage to debate whoever the candidate's going to be for the Democrats, which, you know, before
right.
you know it, it'll be here. And, you know, I kind of miss out on the 2016 election back when we had the Republican debates. You know, they had a lot of people on stage. They also were very quick to show all of their displeasures with Donald Trump. You found a way to rise above all of that. You don't really see a lot of that in the Democratic Party right now, except for Bernie Sanders seems to be deflecting on pretty much everything that's thrown at him. And he's still the front runner. And I think he's going to come back out. And when they do polling after tonight, I think he's going to look real strong.
Well, I think they all sound kind of frantic is the best word I can use. So I was disappointed. Even though I'm a Republican, I was disappointed that they acted that way. Maybe I'm just too old.
You said you're 87 years old?
I was disappointed. I'm 87.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long have you been listening to KMOX?
Forever.
Yeah? As long as you can remember.
Well, I was a kid, and I used to listen to all the ball games. I even kept scrapbooks of the Cardinals clippings in the newspaper and had my dad take me out to see the Cardinals get off the airplanes when they came in town.
Wow.
So I've been listening to KMOX ever since I can remember, since I was a kid, and yeah. I'm 87. I think KMOX is great.
Who's your favorite Cardinals player of all time?
I think probably Ozzie Smith.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
He's something else, isn't he?
He was wonderful.
Oh, what fun to watch, but you were listening to it on the radio. Jack Buck, wasn't he amazing?
Oh, he was amazing.
It didn't get any better than that.
You bet.
Well, Helen.
Well, I loved your program, and I just thought I had to express what I felt. I guess I'm too old to accept the discourteousness that I thought was shown tonight, but that was just me, I guess.
Thank you, Helen. Good to hear from you. Have a good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Look at that. Ozzie Smith fan. Ozzie Smith may be listening. Who knows? Let's see. Text messages. Unfortunately, I thought Vanessa from Telemundo was a little hard to understand with her accent. Someone texted it in. Looked like Klobuchar had to really concentrate to understand the questions from her. I didn't catch the Telemundo question. You know what I noticed just if you were look at the mannerisms of Elizabeth Warren? You know, there's a comparison to Fox News with that. You know how Tucker Carlson will interview someone and you can tell he's really listening carefully to what the other person says because he has his mouth open and he's kind of like leans in a little and he shows that there's the like concern on his eyebrows and his mouth's open and he's listening. It's distracting in a way, but at the same time, you can tell it means he's given it his all. Elizabeth Warren's like that, too. So she's in front of the podium. She kind of like hunches over a little and she kind of like puts one ear closer to whoever's talking. That's what I do in social situations when I can't hear things. I got to kind of like lean an ear in. Working in radio, wearing headphones every night, it kills your hearing. I'm going to be deaf by the time I'm 50. I'm sure of it. But that's what Elizabeth Warren does. She kind of like leans over and she has her mouth open and she's listening very carefully to what's being said. It's like just a weird observation. 436-7900. You can call or text if you want to talk about the debate. I had a couple of stories, just housing stories. In Washington state, they're considering a ban on single family zoning. Can you believe that? It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
We're live until midnight. Then after midnight, we have the two replay hours, or you can go online now to KMOX.com/ONA and listen now if you really wanted to. Take a couple more of your calls. Tyrone calling in from Illinois. Welcome to Overnight America.
Well, good evening, Brian.
Yes. What's going on?
Well, you know, I watched the debate, and I thought that of all the candidates up there, I thought that Michael Bloomberg acted the most mature and the most presidential.
Oh, wow.
And the most smart.
Really?
Now, I'm a Republican, so... But I felt that Bloomberg was the most presidential. He had the most composure, and I liked the way that he brought up. You know, this Sanders guy. You know, he keeps. I don't know what it is with him and rich people, but that seems to be his big thing. You know, is harping on the rich people.
Yeah,
and he just loves to harp on the rich people, and I don't like that. You know, because I don't think the rich people are keeping the middle and lower class down. The rich people aren't doing it.
Right.
That seems to be his big thing. And I like the way that Michael Bloomberg brought up the fact that he had three homes. I thought that was pretty good because that needed to be brought up. You know, I mean, where does he get off having three homes complaining about the rich people?
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't like the way that Warren and Sanders, you know, they both have to have their arm up in the air constantly. I think their air at Extra Dry was wearing off.
Was trying to air things out. Well, that's how you got to get your time, you know. And that's the thing. And part of what Kristen Arnold points out is the way that these debates are moderated. If your name is invoked or something that you've brought up is invoked, you have to raise your hand in order to respond to that person. If you don't, you don't get the time. Kind of like Bloomberg. He wasn't raising his hand. He didn't get the time for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, as much time as he got, I thought he did the best job. He was the most mature, the most presidential. And I would, if I was a Democrat, I would vote for Bloomberg in a minute over the rest of them, which were to me acting like a bunch of children.
Wow, Tyrone, I'd love to hear other people that agree or disagree with you. I think you may be in the minority when it comes to Bloomberg after this one. I'm curious what happens to him. So thank you for calling in.
Okay, Brian.
Have a good night. I think he does it on purpose now. I think he calls me Brian on purpose. Rick in St. Louis. Welcome to Overnight America.
Hi.
How are you?
He was talking about, you know, how she listens. Warren.
Yes.
Well, I really don't know. Cause like I say, you're pretty much visual where I'm a blind person. So
right. You're
going to go on a visual thing.
Right.
But I would just say this, particularly with myself. I get teased, or I've been teased in the past, particularly by a brother of mine. He's a professor at the University of Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And once in a while, he'll tell me, he says, Rick, you're awful quiet. And there are times that I am quiet, and I will admit it. And I said, well, I'm just listening to people talk.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of it is I do listen to people talk, and I pick up on a lot of stuff that a lot of sighted people don't think about.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have a sister who would love to have family members living pretty close to her, mm-hmm. and she's down there in Arkansas. Well, the thing of it is I've not only picked up on things from listening to people, but have talked to people, and I can tell you, and speaking for myself, I'm not into this living close myself.
Mm-hmm.
And people that I've talked to, that there's not anyone that really wants to live close. Now, I'm as blind as they come, but I pick up on that kind of stuff and I listen.
Mm-hmm.
But I also talk to people. But the thing of it is, you're a whole lot better off than you do listening than you do talking.
Can you explain? I don't know what you mean by living close. You mean just like in proximity when you have family from out of town?
Well, just living close, period.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done it.
Living close? Like
families kind of living in town.
Oh, yeah.
Living close, everything, or sometimes, and then sometimes maybe living in the same state.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you get people want to get up in your business and stuff. That's why Maui and I's marriage was good. We didn't
see
her family very much when I moved here.
Oh, I see what you're saying now. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I want to go back to you saying that you listen very closely to things. When you listen to a debate like this tonight, is there anything that you picked up on that maybe other people would not have picked up on?
Well, I'll tell you this right now. I'm going to have to kind of agree with this Republican that got on there, that a lot of these people get up there and they're talking, they acting like a bunch of kids.
Oh, okay, yeah. When she called in earlier.
I would say this.
Helen called in, yeah.
If I were, let's just say that I were running for president, and let's say I'm on the Republican Party, and let's just say I'm running, it don't necessarily have to talk Trump, but let's just say, for instance, that I was running. What I would do, man, I would capitalize on that like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that, and of course, that's just me talking. But I would capitalize that like that on crazy, like crazy. They're getting up there, and they're shouting each other down and this kind of stuff. It's almost like listening to some of the talk shows. And I listened to a few of them back in the 60s.
Yeah.
There used to be a guy, I don't know if he was ever around in your time. It was called Joe Pyne. Mm. He's on the West Coast.
See, I don't know him.
You know, he was back in the 60s.
Mm.
And people would get on there on his show. I used to listen to him on a TV station out of Los Angeles. And he was also on a radio station, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the Joe Pyne Show.
Yeah.
And people would actually get into a knockdown drag out on his show. And one time I witnessed a fight between one of his assistants and another person.
Yeah?
I'm not talking about what these people were doing tonight, getting up there. They're shouting each other.
Yeah.
I'm talking about knockdown drag out.
Yeah.
In other words, somebody coming up there and knock the ever-living daylights out of somebody.
Mm-hmm. I get it. All right, so I'll have to look him up because I look online, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of different talk show hosts today that credit him as a major influence, including Bill O'Reilly,
Joe
Glenn Beck.
Joe Pyne was his name. He was back in the mid-late 60s. I lost track of him when I moved to Arkansas.
Yeah, he died in 1970. So, before my time.
Wow.
One last question for you, real quick. So, just listening to the Democratic debates, I'm curious. Can you tell me who do you think had the best performance tonight?
Well, I will have to say, I will have to agree with this Republican that Bloomberg did act presidential.
Mm-hmm. Bloomberg.
I
would agree that way, yeah.
I used to think that this lady out of Minnesota was okay, but
Klobuchar,
from the senator,
yeah.
But I don't know. I'll tell you. But the thing of it is, it's I don't think between you, me, and the lamppost, I don't think that a lot of people are really going to be crazy about Sanders.
Yeah,
because he's going out there talking Medicare for all. Well, I have a question: who's going to pay for all this stuff?
Yeah,
he's talking Medicare for all. And that sounds like socialism. And the thing of it is that there's a lot of people, I can name several people, living and dead, who would be against having a socialist president.
Yeah, I totally understand that. Hey, you know, Rick, I'm so glad you called in, and I'm glad we had that time together. Thank you.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Have a great night, and call in again soon.
I will.
All right, bye.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm trying to find, let's see, if this is it. There was an article that was written. Is this it? I got to find this article. And let me go to Lou while I'm trying to do that, calling in from St. Louis. What's going on, Lou?
Hi. Yeah, about Joe Pyne, I remember watching him on TV, too, in the late 60s. I believe he was a Marine who had one leg. I think he may have lost it in combat. And he died relatively young, I think, at the age of 45. But he would really rake people over the coals. He'd get people on there. I remember one guy he had on there that, you know, maintained that the earth was flat, and he just tore into him, making fun of his looks and everything like
that. Is that right? Wow.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to see if I can find some footage of him, and maybe I can listen to a little bit of a show. Maybe I can find a podcast, someone documenting that. So he was pretty, today's standards, how would he hold up by today's talk standards?
Oh, he'd be, you know, about as rude as some of them are now. He was kind of like a proto Jerry Springer.
Oh, I see. Okay. That's interesting.
You know, I think people used to watch him for the controversy and the fighting and things like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to look that up and see if I can find some examples of him. Thank you for calling in, Lou.
Okay.
Have a good night.
You
Bye.
Too. Bye.
Yeah, Joe Pyne, 1924 to 1970, so died very young. Let's see. Died of lung cancer from a smoking habit. Okay. We'll take some more of your calls if you want to, but we're live up until midnight, 436-7900 on Overnight America KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Overnight America. A text message from DJ Troublemaker. All right. The Democrats looked and sounded like a stage full of spoiled two-year-olds. It was worth it for the comedy entertainment. And then someone texted in, case of coronavirus reported in Troy. Lady came back from South China, showed up at the ER. Someone texted that in, too. You'll have to look that one up, too. It's hard to keep up sometimes with how fast these stories multiply. But that was a text message that came in there. Unconfirmed by me, at least. I'm not sure. I have to find that one. But thanks, DJ Troublemaker. Good to hear from you again. I'm glad you're doing all right. Let's go to Jerome checking in from Illinois. Hey, Jerome.
Actually, coronavirus is a generic name, and this has a more efficient name. But coronavirus is just like saying you have a cold.
A little bit ramped up cold, I guess. It's a little different than the flu. There's some
right.
slight differences, yeah.
I'm just saying, actually, it's a generic name. It's like cotton swab for a Q-tip.
Oh, I see. Coronavirus. I see what you're saying. Yeah. What's going on with you,
Jerome? That's what I think. Well, not much. I didn't get to talk very much yesterday because I forgot why I quit calling on my way home. It's because the hills. I lose you.
Oh, yeah.
On the hills. I live in the middle of nowhere.
That's
so,
right.
So just getting you at home is hard enough.
Now you're back and, home. And you get off, you said, 11 o'clock?
Yes, 11 o'clock in the p.m.
How about that?
Post-meridian.
And you're still
so
only
anyways,
bringing in one day's worth of meals.
Yes, I'm up to that. I'm a little ornery today. I wore my shirt I told you about that I made that said, you know, like, leave me alone, my stuff alone, and so forth. And my boss immediately came up to me like 5 or 10 minutes after start, I'm not sure exactly, and said, you cannot wear that shirt here.
Oh,
you
no.
either have to wear a sweatshirt over it or go home and change.
Because your shirt said, leave me alone?
Well, I didn't say leave me alone. It's like, leave my stuff alone. I'll leave yours alone and so forth. Remember that one I told you I wore whenever I got absconded from? So I pretty much knew I wasn't going to get to keep or wear that shirt. So I had a backup. I knew I had one in my locker.
I see.
You know what I did?
Yeah.
I actually discovered I had two more shirts in the back of my truck. So to kind of rub it in her face legitimately without breaking rules, I changed shirts throughout the night. So I wore... And I wore a long sleeve. So I actually had three. I had the shirt I started with, a plaid shirt, a black shirt, a Superman shirt, and a long sleeve plaid or whatever shirt.
Man, you got a lot. You got a full wardrobe. It's like you're living out of your truck.
Well, I if I ever became homeless, I would be excellent at it. I learned about the newspaper. You're supposed to put them under your clothes. I would buy great long under jammies.
Yeah.
I would have it going on. So I called Mr. Michael Extraordinaire in you, Ryan Wrecker Extraordinaire Excelsior. And I didn't get to talk about Donald Trump and his commuting of one Rod Blahojevich.
Yes.
And
okay.
So I just find that there's an interesting contrast in both gentlemen. Both have had their share of legal trouble. Both have extremely large heads.
Mm-hmm.
Both have weird accents. And both have funky hairstyles.
Yeah.
One's like it would not move in a you know, like a hurricane. It looks like plastic hair, Ken hair doll.
Yeah.
And the other one looks like a comb over that was done like a beehive almost.
Yeah.
To cover a bald spot.
Oh, man. You're really not too kind to his looks right now, but, you know, who cares? He's probably happy being out of prison. I don't think he'll mind.
Well, when your roommate's name is Rufus, and he's served time, and he looks at you a little too ungently, but you need to go home to your attractive wife, I'm sure he's doing a lot better now.
I think that he's just happy to be back. And, you know, look at what does he call himself? Something like that. So he basically tries to show that, hey, not all Democrats are upset with you. Lead me as an example, Donald Trump.
Well, if I'm making license plates one day and the next day I'm pulling out copies of my book to be out of my printer, I want to be your buddy too.
Yeah.
I mean, but no, you know, that's just how that goes. And, I haven't told you this, but I had started up my own Wrestling Action Figure Federation.
Is that right?
And, I got an okay from my buddy, who the guy I got the team from last year, I got the okay to call it the name of his former wrestling company. And he has only lost one or two matches.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan has held several belts in the company. And I haven't yet made an action figure me because I haven't found one with the upper torso ability. Or similarities such as myself,
yeah.
Other than Rikishi.
Rikishi, I kind of remember Rikishi.
He was a gentleman who would hike up his thong-like Yokozuna type outfit, and he would smother his opponent's face into his bum.
Oh, that's right. But he was very active. It seemed like he was out there always hitting the road doing things. Like he was.
He was very active at one time. Unfortunately, they were going to do a. They did a reunion show last year, Robin.
Yeah.
And a lot of the guys are so beat up or not healthy. The stuff they wrote for him, they couldn't do it because of insurance reasons or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was one of them.
Wow. How about that?
I'm like, how in the joint you have to be to put your butt in someone else's face?
Just like that. All right. Well, Jerome, I'm glad you called in. I'm glad that you're doing all right. And you know what? I don't know what you're going to do with that shirt, but I think it would be just fine to wear it out in public. I think it's a great universal message. Just leave me alone and don't touch my stuff.
Well, I think I am going to wear it out in public. I think I'm going to put it on my Facebook because I can't wear it there, but it can be anywhere else in the whole wide
universe. I know. Well, all right. Hey, Jerome, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
All right. See you guys. And my hands are freezing to death outside, so I'm definitely ready to go back in.
Do your thing, Jerome. Always good to hear from you. Replay hours coming up next on Overnight America. Have a good night. Bye.
My heart beats with the lonely rain, wishing I could see your face again. Change the dial on the radio. Find something playing kind of bluesy and slow. If things were only like they used to be, we'd be lying in love tonight. I wish you'd call me on the telephone. I don't.
In full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.